younger, if you ever played a little game called Good News, Bad News, where you would be like, the bad news is, and you would give some scenario, and then you would say, but the good news is, and then you would give a different scenario. And to me, Easter is a little like that game, because we first celebrate Good Friday. And Good Friday just has this note of solemnness as we look and go, how could this possibly be Good Friday? Because we look at the anguish that our Lord and Savior Jesus suffered on the cross and go, this seems like bad news to me. But I'm here to tell you that there is a whole lot of good news in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk briefly about this morning. So there's four things that we can take from Easter as far as what is the good news about this occasion. So first of all, the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection was that it fulfilled God's promise to send us a Savior to redeem us from the curse of sin. So as Pastor Ed just said, we go all the way back to the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden where the unthinkable happened. And the serpent tempted Eve to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam ate along with her. Now God gave Adam and Eve the choice to obey him or not. And Eve was deceived by the serpent Satan, and Adam chose to eat as well. Now ever since that time, this desire, this sin nature has been passed on to all mankind. And God sacrificed an animal for Adam and Eve and made them clothes to cover their nakedness. And this was a symbol at that time of how God would cover the sins of his people with sacrifice in the future. In the middle of all of these events, though, there was a plan, and Satan would be punished. Genesis 3, 14 to 15 says this, "Then the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel.' So the seed of the woman was a promise of someone to come, and through that someone, Satan would be crushed. That someone is Jesus. Satan would strike Jesus' heel through the crucifixion, but Jesus would crush Satan's head by conquering sin and death through the resurrection. This was God's promise and God's plan. 1 Peter 1:19 to 20 says it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these last days has been revealed for your sake. Jesus knew that this was the plan long before the world began. It was Jesus' joy to break the curse of sin and death over us so that we could have a right relationship with God the Father. The second piece of good news about Jesus' death and resurrection was not only that it fulfilled God's purpose and plan, but next, it offered a way that we could be forgiven for our sins. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth." Romans 3:23 says, "For everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard." Now, forgiveness means to cancel a debt or wipe something clean. And we just saw an illustration or a symbolic act of that as Paige went under the waters of baptism and came up clean. That was symbolic of God's work that took place in her heart. And again, through Adam and Eve, sin entered the world when they disobeyed, and the desire to sin or go our own way has been in each of our hearts ever since of this. And you may have heard the illustration, you never have to teach a child to be bad. They figure that one out all on their own. We spend a whole lot of time and invest in teaching them how to be good and how to behave. So what is sin? Sin is missing the mark that God has set for us. And the mark is loving God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind and strength, and loving others the way God has asked us to. Romans 5, 6-8 says this, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That is very good news to me. Very good news. We needed forgiveness, and God knew we needed forgiveness, so he sent Jesus to die for us. He didn't want us to stay stuck in our sinful state. And if you can identify an area in your life where maybe you could say, yeah, that was definitely sin. You know that feeling of being stuck there and not being able to break through some of those things. And Jesus said, I am here so that you do not need to remain stuck in your sinful state. He didn't wait to send Jesus once we had our act together and agreed to it. He sent him when we were still in the wretchedness of our sin. Jesus doesn't forgive us because we deserve forgiveness. He forgives us because he loves us. And once we've confessed, we are promised that God will cleanse us from anything that is sinful or wicked in us. And God will not keep a score of what we did wrong. Good news, once again, it says, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. And I've been kind of east to west recently by about 9 hours on a plane. And let me tell you, it's pretty far, especially when you're in the middle seat. Third, the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection is not only that it fulfilled God's plan and purpose, not only that it offers us forgiveness of sins, but it gives us a place in God's family. Ephesians 1:4-5 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Family is important to God. Now, you might notice I've underlined a few words in there, specifically us. What I'm going to challenge you to do now is we're going to read this together on the count of three, like one, two, three, begin. Not on three, after three. And I'm going to challenge you to put your You can choose to do that this morning in your head, or you can do it out loud if you're comfortable. But go ahead, and we're going to say this verse one more time together from the top. And wherever it says us, put your own name in there. Are you ready? Okay. One, two, don't start yet. Remember, after three, not on three. And three. Even before he made the world, God loved Carolyn and chose Carolyn in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt Carolyn into his own family by bringing Carolyn to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Did you hear that this morning? Did you really hear it, like, deep in your heart, not just with your ears? God loved you and chose you. God decided in advance to adopt you into his family and bring you to himself. This is what he wanted to do, it says, and it gave him great pleasure. That's amazing. Let that sink in. It might be news to you this morning, and it might even be something you have trouble holding on to and needed to hear that again. Romans 8:14-15 says it this way. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children, and now we call him Abba Father. This changes everything. Why? Because it means we don't have to wonder if we're good enough, if we're loved enough. We are loved by God, we are loved by him, and chosen by him, and as we read earlier, even in our sinful state, before we came to make a decision to say, Christ, would you wash away my sins? So it confirms that when we ask Jesus into our hearts, the Holy Spirit comes in, and immediately we become a part of God's family. And that word Abba there means daddy. As God's children, we have the right to call him daddy, we have the right to call ourselves his child. And we have the right to an inheritance from him. One more verse that illustrates this is Romans 5:10-11. It says, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So the only way we can become his family and his friend is by believing in him and confessing and admitting that he is our Lord and Savior. The choice is up to us to come to him. But the good news is that everybody has the opportunity to become a part of God's family. Amen? Fourth, not only does Jesus' death and resurrection fulfill God's plan and purpose, offer us forgiveness, give us the opportunity to be born into God's family, but lastly, he gives us a future. He gives us the promise of an eternity with him. 1 Peter 1, 3-4 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. This is just something that we get to enjoy. We have this expectation. This is not all there is. We have a hope for our future. And we have a hope for our future here on earth as he asks us to be him extended in our world. So we have a purpose here on earth, but we have an eternity promised with him in heaven. Revelation 22, 3-5 says, no longer will there be a curse on anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him. And they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. What amazing news. What amazingly good news. No longer in our eternity with him will there be a curse on anything. The curse of sin that remains in our world will be gone. Heaven is going to be an exciting place. We are not sitting around and playing harps, people. There is way more than that. Way more than that. It's a future that followers of God have to look forward to. Jesus' death and his resurrection gives us hope for the future, and that's good news. Well, I have a quick story to share with you before we close today. I had the opportunity last Monday evening to sleep in an airport. Now, you might go, that doesn't sound like much of an opportunity, but I was feeling a little cheap and didn't want to spend money on a five-hour sleep, nor did I want to ask my son and daughter-in-law to drive me to the airport at 4 in the morning. So I made a decision to head into the domestic terminal a little early, find a quiet place, and sleep. And I did. I found a pretty comfortable, quiet, isolated place and, you know, got all set up, had my little sleep mask, my pillow and blanket, and, you know, had everything attached to my body so no one could walk away with it. It's Vancouver, come on. And as I was drifting off, I heard this final boarding call for flight 172 to Montreal. Final boarding call, loud, right above my head. But no big deal, right? Final boarding call. And just to clarify, my definition of final is this. Last, closing, concluding, finishing, end, ending, terminating, terminal, culminating, ultimate, end, most. Final boarding call. And then I can drift off to sleep. Not quite. 15 times. 15 variations of the final boarding call. Final boarding call. Final boarding call for these specific people. Final boarding call again. This went on till about 1 in the morning. I was like, are you kidding me? Leave already. But here's the good news. There is some good news in this. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord isn't really slow about his promise as some people think. No. He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. The Lord gives us a final boarding call. But I love that God's definition of final is a little bit different than mine. because he repeats again and again and again. If you read the Old Testament into the New Testament, you'll see him saying to his people, repent again and again and again and come to me. Final boarding call. God is patient with us. We have the opportunity to respond. But at some point, that airplane had to leave. It had to go. One, because it needed sleep. But no, I'm just kidding. But they had a destination. They had a place to be. And they had to make the call. Okay, we're done with the final boarding calls. We've listed people by name. It's time to leave. Proverbs 1, 24 and 28 to 31 says this. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. Now, this seems harsh, but remember that that boarding call has been put out more than once. The bottom line is Jesus wants relationship with each and every one of us. Easter is good news for those who choose to believe in Jesus Christ. And with that belief comes the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose. It comes with his forgiveness. It comes with a place in God's family. And it comes with a great future and a hope. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And we're going to respond this morning because God is calling. Final boarding call, and he continues to call. So whether you're here this morning and you've never heard the gospel message, that word gospel simply means good news. If you've never heard the good news about Jesus Christ, or perhaps you've heard it again and again, but you've said, you know what, that's not me, that's not me. I'm going to give you today just another boarding call and say by name he is listing you. Passenger Joe so-and-so, would you come to gate 27? The plane is leaving. Final boarding call today. And for those of us who have chosen to walk as followers of Jesus, would your hope be renewed this morning in the fact that this message is good news, that we have that fulfillment, we have family, we have forgiveness, and we have a future? So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Sometimes we do this via eye contact, but with the larger room, that's going to be just a little more difficult for me to see this morning. So I'm going to invite you, if you're here this morning and you've never responded to that boarding call and you've never said, Jesus, I want to be a follower of you. Would you come in? Would you wash away my sins? I am responding to your call, Lord God. If that's you and you would like to make that decision and acknowledge Jesus as your Lord, I'm just going to ask you right where you're seated to slip up your hand a moment. You can put it right back down, but I'd love a chance to pray with you. Is there anyone like that today? All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray together. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you do not leave us as orphans, but, Lord, you give us a future, a hope. You give us a place in your family. Lord, I thank you that you give us a fresh start every single time we need one. Lord, it's not a one and done, but as we walk through life and sometimes we stumble and we miss the mark, we can come to you again and say, God, would you forgive me? And we get to start fresh and new. And Lord, you remember our sins no more. You wipe that slate clean because of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for us. Lord, we thank you that through your resurrection power, we have an eternity in heaven with you. That death and the curse of sin have been conquered. We are so grateful, Lord. Lord, Jesus, would you just stir those things in our heart, Lord, as we go about our days today and finish off our Easter weekend, whatever that looks like, Lord, and go into a new week, would you continue to remind us of what we celebrate, Lord God, and what is true about you? We pray this in your precious and holy name. God, we pray your blessings on people this morning. Lord, that as they go and they spend time with family or spend time in rest or maybe have to head off to work, Lord, we pray that your favor would rest on each and every person in your protection. In your name, amen.